welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Right, if you have a Bible, and look, I've got a real paper one this week, how amazing is that? And I've even got notes in a paper book as well, how retro. Now, still had the iPad for the internet page though. Right, we're going to Exodus, which is the second book, and we're going to chapter 3. And we're going to start right bang in the middle with a verse, which I'll tell you about in a minute. It's Moses asks a question at this point of God, and it's a question that a lot of people ask. It's a very simple question, but the answer is something that many people are seeking. And Moses said to God, it says, verse 11, "Who am I?" So Moses asked the question, who am I? People are seeking answers to these questions in all kinds of ways. It's one of the ways you can get into all kinds of other beliefs and religions is a desire and a seeking to understand yourself. You know, and people say that they're going on world tours to find themselves. Yeah, and things like that. And sometimes we can mock what's going on there, but I don't think we should really, because there is a spiritual seeking going on. People are trying to understand, well, who am I? What am I here for? How did this happen? Who am I? I think it's a real question. And when you first read what God's answer is to Moses, you could almost think he's sidestepping the question. You know, a bit like a politician, Prime Minister God, you know, never giving a straight answer to an easy question. Well, sort of. Who am I? And let's have a quick look. What does God actually say in reply? Of course, Moses is questioning the fact that God's telling him to go and lead his people out of Egypt. That's where it comes from. Who am I that I should do this that you're asking me to do? But the question is still, who am I? And God said in verse 12, I will certainly be with you. Certainly is missed out in the NIV, but it is in there. I will surely be with you, it might say in your translation. So he doesn't really answer it. Moses says, who am I? And God says, I'm going to be with you. No. Who am I? Me, Moses. And God said, and this will be the sign. You know, it's like God has completely ignored him. But the reality is, God has answered his question. And he's answered his question precisely. Because what God has said to Moses is, I'll tell you who you are. You're the guy I want to hang out with. Wow. That's a pretty cool answer. What he's saying to him is, I don't care about the mistakes that you've made before, because Moses has mucked up quite a bit by this stage, hasn't he? You know, I don't care about the mistakes, I don't care about your education, I don't care about your qualifications, I don't care about your skills, I don't care about your training, I don't care how handsome you are, I don't care how long your beard is, I don't care what colour your sandals are, I want to be with you. And this is why God is actually answering Moses' question. And he's taking him out of works and law and actually enabling him to access grace. And this is before Jesus Christ, before we have the fullness of the revelation of what grace is. But that's basically what God is doing with Moses here at this time. Who am I? You are someone I want to hang out with. And it's not dependent on what your personality is. It's not dependent on whether you're, a loud, extravagant person or a very quiet person or whatever. Or what you've done wrong or what you've done right. God says, I want to hang out with you. Now, that's okay. I mean, that's Moses, isn't it? So, you know, you'd expect that. Hero of God and everything. But don't forget, Moses, if you go back and read the story, he has messed up a lot. You know, he's even accidentally killed someone. So to be chosen by God after that, I mean, you could say it was kind of in a righteous way, but he still took the law into his own hands and ran away because he was afraid of the punishment. But whatever has gone on before, God says to Moses, I want to be with you. In fact, he says more than I want to be. He says, I am going to be with you. But that's Moses. What about us? What about when we ask the question, who am I? The thing is, if you ask that question, you can sort of delve inside. You can try and analyze your personality. You can try and analyze what makes you happy, what makes you sad. You can look for meaning in your life. Ultimately, though, none of these answers will give you a satisfaction, because all of these answers are empty unless you come to the answer that God knew was the answer: I am with you. And that's why people search and search and search and do spiritual quests in all kinds of ways. They're trying to find out who they are. But the answer to who you are, is who he is. This is why God says a little bit later, I am who I am. This is the same answer as he's just giving here. All right? He is. I am who I am because you are who you are because I made you. Your whole identity is in me. What makes you wonderful? What makes you gorgeous? What makes you lovely? What makes you beautiful? What makes you happy is me. I am in you to the fullness. And you see, well, you can still go back and say, but that was Moses. What about us? But God wants to be with you. The whole of the Bible is a love story from Adam and Eve to the end of God wooing a people that he wants to be with. You know, we talked about Adam and Eve not long ago, and how God, sometimes it's talked about that the sin separated them from God, but God actually leapt over the gap and said, hey, I'm here. You know, it was them, it was Adam and Eve that were hiding in the garden, and God that was walking through the garden saying, where are you? Because he wanted to be with them. And he knew what they'd done. You know, it wasn't that he was ignorant. He didn't find them and say, uh-oh, you got apple juice. You know, running out your mouth. What have you been doing? You know, he knew, and yet he was taking the initiative. And he's never stopped. He knows what's gone on. He knows what we've done. He knows what people have done. And yet he's still taking the initiative. The most famous verse in the whole world is probably John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What that says, what that verse is plainly saying, is that God is making a way for people to be with him. Not perish. Perish is to be apart from God. Remember, God is everything that's wonderful. Sometimes people say, well, I'll go to hell because that's where all my friends will be. There's no friendship in hell. Friendship is from God. It's something that's beautiful. It's something that's precious. It won't be in hell. There'll be no friendship. Anything that is of God, happiness, joy, sex, won't be in hell. That silenced you. Who am I? You are someone who God wants to hang out with. Come on, let's get that in our noggin. What does that make us? Someone who God wants to hang out with. That's the answer. Not dependent on us. Not dependent on who we are. Because the whole thing about grace is it's not what we do, it's what God has done. And it gives you then such an assurance, such a confidence. So the reason that you don't do the things that are unrighteous, it's not because there's a list of commandments to follow, but because you realize you've been set free and you want to respond to God and love God. And the way you love God is by following the instruction manual, which is this love book that he's given to us. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are you liking that so far?
Yeah.
I really liked that this morning when I was just... Because I went into the prayer room this morning a little bit tired because I've been doing Street Angels, and I was absolutely blank. And I just opened my Bible on this page, and that's what's happened. So, but I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who am I? I'm someone that God wants to hang out with.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow.
You mean even though I forgot to do that, yep, God wants to hang out with me. You know, even though I did that was deliberately unkind, yep. God wants to hang out with you. Even though I've spent most of my life denying him, yep, God wants to hang out with you. In fact, God wants to hang out with the guys that are still denying him. Because he loves them passionately. God so loved the world. You can't force people to love him. There would be no love. You can't, a man can't meet a woman and say, you're going to love me and I'm marrying you, you've got to love me. You know, now even if he really loves and desires her, he can't force that person to love him back. It's always got to be a choice. And if he had like a switch on the back of the woman that said love man now, it might be very useful, but it wouldn't be very practical in terms of developing a relationship. It would be completely false. So God has to give us the choice to not love him. Otherwise there is no love. God has the choice to not love us. Did you ever think about that? It's not that because he's God, he's got to hang out with us. It's his like divine job. It's on his role specification. You know, he has the choice. And his choice has been made. I want to be with you. And so many people have put so many barriers in the way, you know, your life's not right, you're still smoking, you're still doing that, you're still... God wants to hang out with you. You know, if you struggle with... If you're a smoker, of course God wants you to be set free from smoking. It's damaging your body. You know, we don't want to be damaging the temple of God, do we? But it doesn't prevent you from hanging out with him. You might be ill. And sometimes people carry a sense of, oh, I should have been healed by now. God still wants to hang out with you. It's not preventing you from a relationship with God. The only that what sin does is it causes us to be ashamed, and so we hide from God. That's how separation comes in. But it's actually our initiative. God's initiative is he's trying to get through to us. I love you. Come on, let's get restored. Let's get that sin dealt with. This is why my son died. Right, let's get it sorted, and then you can go and sin no more. When the woman, do you know this story? We won't turn to it, I'll just briefly tell it. But there was a woman brought to Jesus who had been caught in adultery. Really, the nastiness of the situation was they'd done it to try and trick Jesus. And yet there's this poor woman who's caught up in the middle of it. Now, it says that she'd been caught in the act of adultery. So she's probably been dragged through the streets, partially clothed, thrown at the feet of Jesus. There's people all standing around and they're demanding that she be stoned to death, which was the penalty by law for adultery. And so they're trying to put Jesus in a spot because he's been showing everybody, you know, speaking grace rather than law. But they want to test him here because if he says the wrong thing, they can say he's a lawbreaker. And if you remember what Jesus says to the... And these, some of the people standing around were very righteous people. We sometimes forget that. They were probably people that were trying to do their best to live for God. They may have got it, be getting it wrong, but that's what they were trying to do. And he says to them, well, whichever one of you has no sin, you be the first one to cast a stone. This is why we can't judge anyone else. Let each one of you that's never sinned, there's no sin on you, you judge the other person for what they're doing. And when you're perfect, you can get on with the judgment. But until that point, which obviously isn't going to happen because you've already been not perfect. And so one by one, it says they drop their rocks and leave. And it says that there's just Jesus and the woman still standing there. And he speaks to her a little bit, but the final words that he leaves with her are, go and sin no more. Now, was that law? No. Because what that woman had experienced was love probably as she'd never, ever experienced. Jesus had stood with her in front of an angry mob with rocks. They were quite happy to stone Jesus as well for breaking the law. You can bet, you know, that was one of the things they were hoping they might get to do. They weren't that concerned about the woman, I don't think. It was all a trap to get Jesus. So he'd literally stood in front of her with rocks being aimed at him to protect her. And then he brings no word of judgment into her life. He just brings words of restoration. And then he says, go and sin no more. The woman left him. Then and went back to her life. We don't know what happened to her afterwards. But I know, what we do know is that she was powerfully impacted by God's love at that point. And because we know that Jesus was a man of grace, he wouldn't have been imposing legislation on her. He was just giving her instruction and help in how to respond to that love. Go and sin no more. You've got a new start. You've got a fresh start. You were going to die today. Go and sin no more in the new life that I've given you. And her freedom from sin came from her passion for Jesus. If she'd been thinking like this, the answer to her question, who am I, was Jesus saying, I want to be with you. I want to stand with you even when they're standing around you about to pelt you with rocks. And that's what Jesus is like for us as well. When others around want to pelt you with rocks, Jesus is there. The reason for asking this question, who am I, and showing the Dare to Dream video and reading it off the webpage, is sometimes when you read something or you say something or watch something like that, Dare to Dream of a Church, you can end up thinking, who am I to be part of that? I can't live up to that. A church where the lonely find friendship, sometimes I'm scared of the lonely. You know, I don't know if I've got it within me to make friends with people that I don't yet know. I'm a timid person. Where the deaf will hear and the blind will see, well, it's a bit scary. What about those that don't? And, you know, and Dare to Dream, I'm not sure if I've got any dreams. I just want, you know, my breakfast and my tea. Who am I? I tell you who you are. You're someone God wants to hang out with. And living out Dare to Dream is not a question of, you know, putting on your Superman underpants. It's a word for you, Brian. You don't need them anymore. It's not what you do to yourself. It's allowing the presence of God to just flood through you and enabling him to live through you. So then you do take action. I mean, if Moses' reaction to meeting God and this call to go and set people free, what he was going to do was set the people free from Egypt. That's what Moses was going to be used to do. Egypt in the Bible represents sin and the world, you see. Okay, so he was being sent, Moses, to the people of God to see them set free. All right, and that's the exact same call on us. So when we answer, who am I to be part of this Dare to Dream? God says, well, you're someone I want to hang out with. And you say, I don't know how that's going to happen. That's fine. Neither did Moses. You know, he had quite a few questions, didn't he? I don't see how this can possibly happen. And God's just saying, I am who I am. And I am living in you. The basic thing about being a Christian and saying yes to Jesus is you surrender your life to him. And he fills you with his spirit to enable you to live the life that he's called you. You can't be a Christian before you're a Christian. It's too hard. You can still be a nice person, but you've got to be a Jesus. Yeah, yeah. And I don't know about you, but I look at him and think, that's a little difficult. Yeah, it's impossible. Sometimes Christians get fed up. They think, I'm never going to do it. You haven't got to do it. Jesus will do it through you if you let him. A lot of it's just relaxing in him. But if Moses had just said, you know, oh, that's wonderful, Jesus. Lord, he didn't know he was Jesus yet. That's wonderful, I am. What a revelation. I'm going to teach a few people about that. You are the I am. I am, I worship you. You know, and if all he did was stay there at the burning bush worshipping God and discovering that his identity was in Christ, he wouldn't have found his identity, because his identity wasn't to stay at the burning bush in the place of God's presence, but to go into Egypt and rescue people. Yeah. And the poor old church, bless her, it's got caught up in thinking, I'm going to find my identity in God. Yes, you do. And then he says, let's go. Going is fundamental to our being. Telling others about Jesus is what brings life and energy to all of us. What were some of the fundamental lessons that Jesus taught his first disciples? He sent them out to go and preach the word and see people healed and cast out demons. You want to see miracles? Pray for people in the street. Pray for people in the shops. Pray for people in coffee shops, including this one. All right? Then you will see miracles. You say, well, who am I to see that? I tell you who you are. You're someone God wants to hang out with, so that when you're in cafes and Sainsbury's and Proudfoot or whatever it is, who's with you? God's with you. When you say, when someone says to you, I don't feel very well, and you say, let's see that healed, who is the person doing the healing? God is, because he's with you. Who am I? You're someone God wants to hang out with. Wow. When we sort of grasp these kind of things, this is why revival breaks out, because people stop trying to make it happen and realize that God is doing it. God's not in heaven saying, well, it's not quite time for revival yet. He's just waiting for a people that trust him, that believe in him, that say, come on. Or maybe even, come on. God said, I will be with you. It says, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So God said, this will be the sign that it's all working. What's going to happen is, when you finally got those people out, although I don't think he said finally, he didn't want to depress Moses too much. But when you've got those people out of Egypt, you will meet here on this mountain and you will worship me together. It's one of the reasons this building is called the Summit. It's the mountaintop. It's the place to meet with God. It was called the Summit before it existed. We talked about the Summit. We tried to stick that label on other buildings even, but this was the one that was coming. It was the place where we would go up and meet with God. It's probably not a coincidence that we have to come up into the actual room. We shouldn't have emphasized it that much, you know, and then we could have had a nice first floor, no, ground floor built. No. But that's why it's called the Summit, because the sign to us that God has said to you, you said, who am I? And God said, I'm with you. The sign that that's true is that you will see people coming to join what you are doing and you will worship God together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people was it, you don't need to do it again, how many people just earlier put their hand up to say, I wasn't here when that video was first made? So you've got the sign. Yeah. Who am I? I'm someone that God wants to hang out with. What's the sign that this is true? People will come to the summit, the mountaintop, to worship with you, to adore God. Wow, we've got the sign. If it wasn't God, it wouldn't be happening. And wasn't the presence of God just awesome as we were worshiping today? From the kickoff, you know? As Joanne got her dancing shoes on and led us straight into dancing and celebrating in the courtyard. I don't know what happened on the front row. I think we all had an energy boost. I don't know what you lot were doing because I have my back to you, but certainly on the front row, everybody, whoa, come on. Why? Why am I like that? Because I tell you who I am. I'm someone that God wants to hang out with. Wow, that's me. He wants to hang out with me. It doesn't make me proud, but it sure makes me secure. Do you want a bit more? Because I don't want to go into a 2- and 3-parter, really. I've got a lot more. I've only really preached on who am I. God says you will worship on the mountain. Yeah, and he's answered the question, I will be with you. It's interesting what he's fulfilling here to Moses. In verse 8, going back a bit, he says, I've heard about my people in Egypt. God is aware of the people crying out to him in Scarborough and Yorkshire and the north of England. His response is, I have come down to rescue them. That's what he's doing today. He comes down to rescue his people. And actually, the people he's talking about here are the people that aren't even saved yet. He's manifesting his presence in this place. We see miracles. We see people healed. We saw a lot last week. We see people healed because he's come down to rescue his people. Because if you remember, God is outside time. So he doesn't see that person as not saved and that person as saved. And he knows everybody from the beginning of their life to the end of their life. So he knows his people. And some of them are way astray at the moment, but he knows them. He knows the ones that will make the choice at some point. It might be that they're a last minute deathbed choice. They're still his people. We never know. It's one of the toughest things when someone that we love dies and we don't know whether they know Jesus or not. We just don't know. You know, we just don't. We don't know what went on between them and the Lord. It might be that someone you love is killed in an accident and you say they didn't know Jesus, but you don't know what cry they made out in that last millisecond of their life. There was every opportunity that they cried out, God, save me. What happened? He saved them. He will answer every cry and give every opportunity to every person. He's far more desperate or far more lovingly desirous to see people saved than we would ever be. He went to the cross for it, for goodness sake. Yeah? So he's come down to rescue. This all started with Moses seeing a burning bush. It's how God got his attention. It says that Moses saw that the bush was on fire, it wasn't burning. How odd is that? So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. This links into who am I? And that God wants to be with you. Because the burning bush, what's happening there for Moses is the burning presence of God is being manifest. He's showing him something. Yeah. All right? And if you have a call and a destiny and you want to live the dream and you love Jesus and all that, it's not just a question, as I said, of standing there going, oh, great, I am, you're lovely. Although I've tried to emphasize how important worship is, it's just not where it ends. But I think that little phrase there, it needs to be in our heads constantly. I will go over. I will go to the presence of God. This is why the summit, the mountaintop, is so important to us all. It's a coming together of us all. Yeah. We also need to meet with God when we're on our own. And if you get the opportunity, take time out at Lamp Blue House. You know, spend some time in quiet or silence up at Lamp Blue, just away from the hustle and bustle, where there's an open heaven and you can really hear God. You know, but so we got those as well. But the burning bush is that coming into God's presence, I think, together. I will go over, Moses says. And then God says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here I am. When God saw the response, he responded. Yeah, he responded to that. He's constantly looking out for us. You know, this is the place to be in that sense. Because as you come, God says, right, I'll respond. They've come in faith, to meet together in faith, to meet with me in faith, to see God move in faith, I will respond. Yeah? And it's so important, therefore, that we are, our burning bush is somewhere where we are going to get that God encounter. You know, I really feel for people sometimes who tell me, who feel very loyal perhaps to a place where nothing is happening. Because ultimately you're not encountering God. Now, there could be a very specific call into a place, but often it's a kind of loyalty to something and a loyalty to people. Our loyalty needs to be to the Lord and to be where he's called us to be, and he will call his people to be somewhere he can feed them and meet with them. There's nothing in the word, really, I don't think, that would say anything else. I mean, you can be sent out to go and do things, and that can be right lonely. But if you have a home base, a home church, supposed to be a good one of loving people, that even when you're sent out, they're still praying for you and communicating with you. And today we can communicate really easy, can't we, because of internet stuff. That burning bush, that presence, let's go over. Let's go to the life. Let's be in the right place. And in the right place, you're going to hear God. God actually says here something strange. He says, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place that you're standing is holy ground. Don't come any closer. Isn't that odd? No, it's not. Because what God is doing at this point is taking Moses beyond the normal into the supernormal. 10 minutes earlier, there'd been goats and sheep walking on this little area, and it's probably full of goat droppings. You know, it doesn't look a very holy place, in other words. It's full of animal dung. And God says, don't come any closer. I think what's going on here is he's helping Moses to get into the right place of this is a holy place because God is here. At that moment, he's still just looking at his surroundings. There's a lot goes on in this place. Some of it doesn't glorify God. Lots of people come that don't know the Lord, and that is absolutely awesome. Sheep and goats. But if you walk in without a sense of awe for the presence of God, don't come any closer. Just stop for a minute. Take your shoes off and realize what you're coming into. You know, this is a special place. So a lot happens here. Animals and sheep and probably even some dung around the place. But take your shoes off. Don't come any closer until you realize what you're coming into. Take your shoes off. Position yourself differently to you would normally, because this is a time of God encounter. When you come Sunday nights or Sunday mornings or Thursday nights, whatever else is going on throughout the week, this is the place of God encounter. Don't come any closer until you've realized, hang on a minute, I'm just treating it like any other place. Actually, this morning, this is a burning bush. This is holy ground. I'm going to take my shoes off. I'm going to stand in a different way. When you've not got any shoes on, you walk different, because your feet are sensing everything that's happening underneath. And when you come into a holy place, you go out from the holy place, what's happening is you need to experience more of the life that's happening around you so that you can bring God's life into it. You know, so you'll feel the sharpness of life. You'll feel the cold sea washing over your feet, and if you've got a pair of wellies on. Taking your shoes off in God's presence is about making yourself vulnerable to Him. It's about opening yourself up to Him that you could feel all the joys and pains of life so that you hear from Him. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know if I've got the full revelation on that, but God was just speaking to me about that this morning. It's that feeling life. It's warmer, colder, softer, sharper. Often when people get saved, they say it just seems more colourful now. Right. And it does though, doesn't it? And trees look more beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, you feel almost a bit soppy. But suddenly everything, the sun shines brighter. Even the rain feels good when you first get home. I need to come to an end, because I said I wasn't going to be long. I've got loads more, it's always the way. But I think I do need to end. Let's end with just a few bits. So Moses comes into his presence, into God's presence. He's taken his shoes off. He realizes, okay, this is different. God repeats a promise that's been over his people by saying, I am the God of your father Abraham. He's announcing who he is. And he says, I've come down to rescue my people, and I've chosen you. And this morning, here on holy ground, spiritually speaking, no shoes on, because you're open to whatever God wants to say. You're making yourself vulnerable to Him. God says to you, I've come down to rescue my people. And you might say, well, who am I to be part of that? And God says, just someone I want to hang out with. Ah, hallelujah. Who am I? You're someone God wants to hang out with. Let's just stand for a minute, can we? We'll be finishing in just a few minutes. For those of you that need to make a move, let's just take notice of that word for a minute about do not come closer and take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. Maybe you do have a casual attitude to coming together on a Sunday morning. I think that would be a good thing just to put right with the Lord right now and realize it is a time to have fun. It is a time to hang out. It is a time to even play table tennis and football. But when we come in, it's a holy place. It's the summit. It's the mountaintop, the place of God encounter. Don't come closer in the sense of just take a moment to realize what's happening here. And make sure your shoes aren't on, in the sense of you're not protecting yourself against what God might say. Be completely open to Him. Now, as we do that, the presence of the Lord is just going to increase in this room right now. Not because I've said it, but because He's told me that's what He's doing. Some of you will feel fire. Some of you are feeling very hot right now. It's not that the air conditioning just went off, it's just that it's the Lord. Now the Lord's just going to be confirming to different people in different ways around this room. Some of you will just know in your mind, hear it in your head. Others might get a scripture that you'll read and look up. Others might see pictures. But the Lord's going around the room confirming to you, you are someone I want to hang out with. I am with you. Always. Until the very end of this age, Jesus said. And because God is here, and because His presence is resting in this place, let's just release healing across this room. Hallelujah. If you're in any form of pain at this moment, whether it's happened this morning or it's been something you live with for 30 years, if that's anyone, could you just raise a hand, because we're going to release, or God's going to release healing through your body. And we want to identify who you are. We're not going to lay hands on you. Okay, just raise those hands really high. Now, I don't want anybody to lay hands on them, but if you're standing around that person, you can turn towards them. But we're not going to stop begging the Lord for healing, because He is the healer and He is present. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, those people that have got your hands up. Presence of God is coming on you right now. If there's an area that's easily touchable, lay a hand on the area that hurts. And if you're able to, lift the other hand up. So it's like your other hand is reaching into heaven and the healing is coming down your arm into your body to where your hand is touching. If you're not physically capable of doing that, that's fine. This is just a way to help. And a way to activate faith. Now, the people standing around you, what I want you to do is, you've heard this morning that God is with you. So I want you to have a sense of being like a hose pipe. Oh, there you go. And rain down the presence of God. Rain down the presence of God on that person who's got pain. Don't lay hands on them, because we said we weren't going to do that. You can reach your hand out towards them, but you're just being a hose pipe of God's healing presence, which is literally raining down on them right now. God's timing was spectacular. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you that right now, around this room, pain is diminishing. Okay, we're going for 100% removal, but at the moment I see pain diminishing. Oh, someone just got set free completely. It's gone. Thank you, Jesus. Just let the healing wash right through you. It's Jesus' healing. It's His miracles. It's His presence. It's His glory. And it's because He died on the cross for our wholeness. Hallelujah. Okay, let's put our hands down for a minute. Anybody who has been in pain, can you raise a hand if you've been sensing the presence of God? Let's start with that. Okay, that's quite a good number of people. If you're in pain and you felt absolutely nothing and you didn't feel any presence of God, is that a few people still in the room? No. Well, that's good then. Hallelujah. Right, that's very good then. Okay, so those people who felt the presence of God, how many of you have had some relief from pain? Okay, that's not so many. So who hasn't had relief from pain? Right. Okay, let's go back to this. I can see three people, I think. There's one person just at the back there if you can't see them. And there's two here at the front. Turn towards them. Turn your hose pipe on. Release the presence of God into them. And if you're one of the persons that's been touched and the healing is reducing, do the same thing, because as you do this, you'll receive the fullness of your healing. That's it. That's good. That's good. Might look a little strange, but it's helping us to activate faith to see that person healed. Okay, anybody can say that the pain is gone now, including those that from before. Anybody that the pain is gone? Okay, what about pain reduced? Okay, Shona's got pain reduced. I can't see. You've got pain reduced? Oh, is something? Pain reduced. Okay, let's carry on. Reduction's good, but let's go for 100%. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing presence right now. Thank you, Lord. I'm just coming to the lady back here. We're just going to finish in the next minute or so now, but it's okay if I just put some oil on you. Is that okay? Thank you, Jesus. Just this anointing oil of healing. Just complete release from all pain. Whatever's been causing it, command it to go right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. The presence of God is strong on you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Is anything happening there? Very hot all over. That's a good sign. Whereabouts is the pain? Are you able to say? In your hip. That's it. Put your hand there on the hip. I'm going to touch this hand so that as the healing comes in and down through your body, that hip is healed completely. Is there any change in the pain level? It's worse when you're walking. Right, okay. Well, why don't we start walking? Would that be okay? Yeah, start walking just as you, so that you start receiving the healing. So, how's it doing now? It feels all right. Is there any level of pain there at all? A little bit left, but considerably different. Very hot all over. Well, that's just the presence of God. Yeah. Can we walk a bit more? Is that all right? I know it can feel a little bit strange because you've suddenly become the centre of attention, but which is probably what you didn't want. We're so kind to visitors. Hallelujah. How are you doing? Yeah, come on. Let's just, Father, we thank you. Just continued pain relief in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This sister of ours would be completely pain-free, including when she's walking. Father, thank you that it's begun, that hot presence in of your spirit in her body right now is the sign that you are going to bring this healing to completion. We thank you, Lord, that it's so much better. We thank you, Lord, for 100%. Completely painless. And whatever was causing it, Father, that it's just restored in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Chris is just going to stay with you, okay? Well, we should end there because I don't want to keep people longer than we've said. But if you want to come forward because you want healing in any way, some of the team here will lay hands on you and we'll release that healing into your body. This is a place of healing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the healings that are happening right now. Thank you for the healings that have happened. If any of you have got that 100% healing or a dramatic improvement, could you see Peter? Where's Peter? Is he here today? He's not here. Could you see Joanne? Because I'm just picking on her. In the spots, because she's nice and easy to spot. Ask her for a testimony card, which you'll find from somewhere. And just write down what God's done. It's good to keep a record of what God is doing so we can glorify Jesus. It's great to have you here. There's a service tonight at 6:30, led by the young adults, but it is for everyone. And Thursday, we're also at 6:30. Be absolutely blessed. Enjoy a cup of coffee or have a great cup of tea.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.